Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Well, today we have a special guest missionary from West Africa, Northwest Africa, Tim Ligon. And he is coming to share, and they have a powerful ministry helping the pastors there reach the Islamic community. Can you give Pastor Tim a hand today?
Bless him. Glad you're here. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. It's a blessing to be here. Thank you so much. I need to say thank you to this church and to the Wyoming District for all the support you've given us. Without you, we would not have been able to reach the places that God has allowed us to reach. We're the Ligons. My son is with your kids. My wife and daughter are in Missouri right now, but they send their greetings. I'm Tim Ligon. I was born in Liberia on the west coast there. We moved. Dad's still a missionary in Niger. We moved from there to Nigeria, from there to Niger. We were the first American missionaries in Niger, AG missionaries. And then from Niger, I began going to college in Togo, where I currently serve. There's a great Bible college in Togo that trains 5,000 West African pastors every year, and God is exploding. I mean, the mission is exploding in West Africa amongst a lot of persecution and a lot of distress. We still are seeing victory. We're going to watch a video real quick that kind of explains a little better of what we've been doing. But what we've been doing in West Africa is we build tabernacle buildings, steel structures for anything, any kind of ministry need at all. Mostly their churches. We put water wells in, and we use those as an evangelism tool. And we find water solutions as an evangelism tool. And then finally, we've been doing training in the Northern Bible Colleges because that's where our pastors, our West African pastors, come from. And we are called to empower West African pastors for the purpose of missions. We'll watch that video real quick.
2 things that never cease to astonish us is, on the one hand, the depth of human suffering and pain. Humans have an innate ability to hurt themselves and others. And on the other hand, the power of grace to redeem that suffering and use it for God's glory. God has called the church to be the best answer to the world's needs today.
You are great, yes, you are Holy One. Walked upon the sea, raised the dead. Reign in majesty, mighty God. Everything written about you is great. You are great, yes, you are Holy One. Walked upon the sea, raised the dead. You reign in majesty, mighty God. Everything written about you is great. You are great.
You are great.
You are great.
You are great.
You are great.
Oh yeah.
You are great.
Say you are great.
You are great.
Say you are great.
You are great.
Everything, yeah.
Everything written about you is great.
You are great.
Yeah.
challenge of missions is not that it's been tried and failed, but that it's been tried and found very difficult. The question is not, will it work, but when will we choose to accomplish it?
I believe in missions because I've seen it work in some of the poorest communities, in some of the richest communities. The mission of God is the same. It always changes the people in the community, and then through them heals that community of all its issues, okay? And so God he deals very well with issues, and it comes from his justice, from his righteousness, comes from his word. He is a good God. Amen? We're going to look at this next slide real quick. This is an area which I told you that we did tabernacle evangelism just recently. The Wyoming District and your church as well paid for three of these structures to go up. By faith, we put the foundations in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. By faith, I put the foundations up in March. And then as we came over, Pastor Craig was kind enough to, let me know that we're going to do a jump start. And he said, do you have a project? I said, yeah, I have a project. And by the grace of God, my project, made it. And I was so excited. But because of that, we put foundations in, knowing that you guys would give. You did give. We didn't do one. We did three. Three church plants. Praise the Lord. It's awesome. This is a church plant. And just to give you an idea, this is a church plant where I took the youth group, just like it was Abby. Good job. I love using youth because they just give themselves completely to God and they just get the job done. So I took the youth group up to put this tab up. It took us 2-3 days. We were met in Rodokpe here by a group of men who had burned down the previous church, and that's why they needed a steel structure. So these guys wanted to pick a fight with my youth group, and my youth group were defending me. They were trying to stick up for me and say, don't talk about our missionary that way. And I said, guys, what we need to do is we need to start focusing on Christ, like Pastor said. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on the problem. So we began singing songs of praise. And you would not believe it, but as we engaged them, they got angry, more and more angry. But when we started singing songs of praise, within 5 minutes, they were gone. Praise the Lord. And not only that, we put that church up in record time, 2 days. So God is good. You can get a lot done when you focus on Christ. Amen? Let's look at this next slide real quick. This is the water source for Glipo. The Wyoming youth paid for a water well there in Glipo. There's a joke in Glipo: if you drink the water, you become pregnant. And what they mean is you're going to get worms and all kinds of, we got typhoid, we got malaria, you get everything. But that water source there has cattle and all kinds of animals drinking from it and standing in it. This is their water source. It's 3 kilometers from the village. I went out with them to see, because after we evangelize the area and you put a tabernacle in, one of the people you put a tabernacle in for. After we told them that that Wyoming would somehow come up with the money for the tabernacle, and the church grew to like a 200 strong, which is big for that village. They said, hey, can you do anything about our water? Because it's killing us. 800 children die daily because of waterborne issues. 800 a day. Today, 800 children died because they drank bad water. So you're wondering, is water really that important? It's very important. Clean water is very important. So these guys would walk 3 kilometers and then bring that water back. That's what they would eat. A family in that village uses about 20 liters a day. That's what they use to wash. That's what they use to drink. And that's what they use to prepare water in. I want you to look at this next slide. This is the water well that Wyoming paid for. As we were putting in the foundations for the tabernacle that we knew that you would pay for, we were using this water right here coming out of this water tower to build those foundations. All day long, I watched as non-church people came to the church for their water. And if that doesn't preach, I don't know what will. If you don't know that we're going to have a church there forever, then you just, it's just a fact. That church will be endeared to that community forever. And thank you for giving. So God bless you for being a part of the Assemblies of God of Wyoming. It still means something to some people. Thank you. Let's go to amen. You should clap for that. Amen. And by the way, we go to places like this when we have a pastor, because we never give people. And you also paid for another tabernacle in this area because it was another church plant. When we have a pastor, we know that whatever we give isn't just going to be money. It's going to be the gospel. Amen? And it's going to be sustainable, because the pastor of that church is now making sure that the water stays free. You're like, is that an issue? That is an issue. other entities, including government entities, lock the water up and make people pay for it. But the Assemblies of God gives water for free. Amen. Let's go to the next slide here. Africa is a huge continent. It is massive. You can see that gray area, that brown area, that's the United States. So when you ask, and there's something like 54 countries in Africa, when you ask, do you speak African? No, I only speak like three languages. There are hundreds of languages in Africa and hundreds of different people, as diverse as you can imagine. And as the skin tone goes from white to black, it is a completely diverse continent. It is not just one people. Let's go to the next slide. Africa, the 1040 window is the area in which the most amount of people have heard the least amount of Jesus. This is the area, that's the 1040 window. That's the last stand of missions. That's where we're pushing towards the Middle East and that area. North Africa, there's a huge revival going on in West Africa that's pushing towards North Africa. Huge revival in China, pushing towards the West. But this is the area where you will be persecuted for being a Christian. Just last week, the church that I built, the church that I built with my father, the church that my sister got married in, was burned to the ground by radical Muslims. Just a month ago, Pierre Oudrago in Burkina Faso was told to leave, and he didn't leave. He stayed with his church, and Assemblies of God pastor stayed with his church, and was shot, and his family was shot as well by jihadists. What you need to understand is that Pierre Oudrago is in heaven and he won that battle, amen? What you need to understand is that all of us here in this room are going to die someday, but very few of us will die so well as Pierre Oudrago. And what you need to understand is that his sacrifice will never be forgotten, and we will win back not only that church, but that whole entire area. In fact, in Burkina today, there are 8,000 churches. If you compare Burkina, a place the size of Wyoming, 8,000 churches, in Burkina, in the United States, you have 12,000 Assemblies of God churches. In Burkina, we have 8,000. You see what I'm talking about? Like they're the size of one of your states, and they have 8,000 churches. They're not going anywhere. They're not afraid. If you go to talk to a Burkina Faso pastor today, he's not going to tell you that he's afraid of jihadists. What he's going to tell you is, we're praying for them. We're praying for them because they know not what they do. Amen. Does it remind you of someone? Someone who was hanging on a cross once for you? Let's go to the next slide, please. In the red area there, that's the unreached people groups of the world, that red area. That's where people have heard the least about Jesus. Let's go to the next slide, please. It is also the area where the United States thinks that the human rights violations are happening the most, which makes sense. The only reason I put that map up there is just so that you understand that Jesus is good for everybody. Please don't get the idea that I am some sort of political entity. I only know that Jesus is good for nations. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When people get Jesus, and it may not be the Assemblies of God, and it may not be a church, but when people get Jesus, things start to go right in their nation because justice is a part of what we believe. Amen? You cannot be racist and be a good Christian. You cannot. Let's go to the next slide. And then finally, in the 1040 area is mostly Islam, Hindu, and communism are the last stands of, and communism is more of a way of life now than it is a political way of faction. But those three entities are really Hinduism, Buddhism, and communism, and Islam are the last bastions of the mission field. But we are moving. God is moving in a mighty way. And you'll hear about it, of course, but you'll be seeing that the church now, the large amount of Christians are coming from Africa and Asia. Most Christians, in fact, in Togo alone, we baptize 20,000 plus people every year. They start a church a day in Togo, one church every day. They are growing at a rate of 300%. The Assemblies of God in the United States is growing at a rate of 12%, and that is a miracle, by the way. Everybody else is not growing. We are still growing. But the Assemblies of God in Togo is growing at a rate of 300%. It is not, I would love to tell you that it's because of some good practices. I would love to tell you that it's because we know what we're doing. But the real truth of it is, it's time. The Lord has declared that it's time for Africa. I don't even know how to explain that. We just feel it. Like the young lady said, we go into communities You've been preaching the gospel where it failed in the past, it no longer fails. And people feel the Spirit of God move, and they come running to the pulpits. They come running for prayer. We can't stop them. That's the kind of position we are in Togo. So God is on the move. And I think, if you will, dream with me just a little, I believe that it is the West African pastor with his hot fire. Because he so recently accepted Christ. I believe it is him who will take the gospel to the places we're not willing to go. Places that I could never go, that I can't even afford to go because I'm an American. He will go for pennies on the dollar. And he'll go happy. And he'll think it's a privilege. So it's my pleasure to work with West Africa. And it's my pleasure to work with these men of God. And sometimes be the one who has to send them to a certain death. Let's go to the next slide. In the blue areas is where God is moving. The people are coming to Christ faster than the population growth. So faster than babies are being born, people are becoming Christians in those areas. Let's go to the next slide. All right. Praise the Lord. We'll get into the Word of God here. Sorry, I get emotional because it's hard for me to separate what we're doing and how difficult it is for some of the people that have to go. It is not uncommon for us to lose friends for Christ. And I want to tell you something. It is a blessing and it's an honor for them. We're not sad for them. If you see these tears, it's because I hope to be as good as that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for sending us. Let's get into the Word of God real quick here. What is the impetus of? I want to talk about missions and why it should be important to all of us here today. Why missions? Why missions? Why missions? Why give your life to something that seems so futile because the world just seems to be getting worse every day? And I want to tell you, there's a disillusionment that happened right after that I've been seeing in Hollywood, in the movies, and even amongst our people when we talk about war. There's a disillusionment that has come, I think, right after the Gulf War or whatever. We tried to rebuild Iraq and we realized that we're never going to rebuild it. And then Afghanistan, and we realized that you just can't shoot enough bad guys to change a place, that you actually have to change them from the inside out. And so this disillusionment started in the American psyche, and I got to address it today because it's here in this room, I know it. But this disillusionment, this idea that we'll never win the battle, so why are we trying? We're never going to change those people. They're always going to be like that. They're always going to be murdering liars, right? They're always going to be thieves, and they deserve what they get. Which is exactly what I said about Nigerians when I was growing up. Which is exactly my attitude towards the mission field. My attitude towards the lost was, you are lost and you deserve to be lost. Because you scoundrels have mistreated your children. You horrible people have abused the very people you were supposed to be a part of. My attitude towards the lost was, I hate you. And would be happy for you to go to hell. And you say, well, that's horrible. That's horrible. But I know my attitude. I know what I was living with. I know who I was and I know the way I was thinking. But maybe you don't. The tragedy is that there's people today that have said, why don't we just bomb that whole country? Is that any different than the way I felt? Why don't we send drones in there and blast every single one of them? Who cares if there's civilians amongst them? You know, they deserve to die because they're harboring terrorists. Is that any different than the way I felt? The reason, the push for missions is the finality of lostness. People are lost. There was a man named Jesus who hung on a cross, who was murdered by scoundrels and liars, wicked men, hypocrites, hypocrites. And as he hung on that cross, he said something that makes all Christians shudder, and if it hasn't made you shudder, you should think about it a little more. He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. How in the world did he have that kind of love when he was in that position? I have no idea. To this day, I don't know if I'm able to have that. I pray, God, please, Jesus, help me have that kind of love, that as I die in front of my enemies, I can say, Father, forgive them, because they don't know. That's not Tim, by the way. That is not me. That is foreign to me. I would probably be cussing you out. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. The finality of lostness. Lostness is eternal. If you are lost today and you don't know Jesus, Jesus had a few things to say about hell. You see, the problem with the issue is that the people who are lost are already condemned, and so we don't need to wish anything on them. Actually, if you're in the church today, you honestly don't need to do anything about jihadists and terrorists except pity them and possibly pray for them, because their end will be far worse than yours. You don't need to worry about what they think of America, because when they're burning in hell, they're not going to think much. You say, hell, Tim, really? Hell? We're going to go back to the fiery brimstone sermons? Absolutely. Jesus had so much to say about hell. Jesus was the epitome of the love of God for people. Even the Muslims say, Jesus taught us what love was. That's what they think. Jesus was a prophet who taught us the love of God. That's what the Muslims say of Jesus. So even Muslims understand that Jesus is love. But Jesus had a thing or two to say about hell. In Matthew 28, he said, don't be afraid of people who can harm your body. Fear him who not only can take your body, but can put your soul in eternal hell. Jesus believed in hell. You say, my goodness. Matthew chapter 5, 29 through 30, Jesus had a statement. Oh, go back to the last slide there. Jesus had a statement. He said, if your eye is offending you, pull it out. It's better for you to go into heaven without an eye than that your eye causes you to go to hell. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Can you imagine a Pentecostal preacher saying that today? People, would, I mean, on the news, CNN would call him a heretic. If you're, you laughed at that. You know, Fox News might even call him a heretic. I don't know. If your hand offends you, chop your hand off. It's better for you to go through life maimed and an invalid than to go into hell. Jesus believed in hell. The most loving guy in the universe believed that there was a hell. And what is hell anyway? C.S. Lewis said hell is a place where the goodness of God does not exist. Every other thing can exist there. But God himself, in his goodness and love, he pulls himself away from that. I mean, it's a timeout. It's basically an eternal timeout. It's a place where you get to live without God because you didn't want to be with him while you were here. If there is, you know, the Catholics believe in a purgatory, I would say that this life is a purgatory. This is where we find out which team you're on. This is where we find out if God is really your all in all. Because why on earth would you want to go to heaven if you don't want to be with him? If heaven is all about Jesus, do you belong there? Have you thought about Jesus? Would you be willing to sacrifice for Christ? What would you be willing to sacrifice for Christ? Is Jesus everything to you? Because let me tell you something, if he's not now, he won't be then. If Satan didn't want to be there because of his own selfishness, what will happen to us? What will happen to us? My greatest fear is that when I was without Christ, my greatest fear was that I would get to heaven, and I wouldn't enjoy the place. I know, isn't that crazy? But the idea occurred to me that what if I don't belong there? You know, I mean, we have these pictures of heaven. I'm going to see my family. I'm going to hang out. No, it's all about Christ. It's about Christ. It's all about Christ. And if he means nothing to you here, what will you do when you're there? I say this to Muslims, so you shouldn't be offended, because they aren't, because they think about it. So you shouldn't be offended. But if you are offended, it might mean that you need to think, you need to rethink what your idea of heaven is. Are you ready? Are you really a person that belongs there? You should be working towards that. Amen. Amen. All right. So why missions? Because heaven is real and hell is real. That's why. And if you haven't cried for the lost, there's something wrong. If you haven't cried for the lost, there's something wrong with your Christianity. If you haven't cried for lost people, there's something wrong with your Christianity. Cry for people who are lost. Cry for the jihadists who are killing the Christians. You know what? Those jihadists are going to suffer far worse. If they don't find Christ, they're going to suffer far worse than you could ever punish them. Guys, cry for the lost. There is something in Christianity that should make us cry for the lost people of Casper. Not to look down on them, but to cry for them. Have you cried? When was the last time you got really upset about lost people? I'm speaking to myself here. I'm a missionary and I get into the habit of just doing the mission and I forget that there are lost people who are really lost. And no matter what Hollywood says, it matters to some people. No matter what Hollywood says, don't be so disillusioned. We do change some lives. And by the way, no matter what Hollywood says, even if we didn't get them water, even if we didn't get them food, if we gave them Jesus, we gave them more than they ever had all their life. They get eternal life with Him, and we'll see them again. I mean, this is the reality of it, is you should be less worried about what you're doing in the 70 years that you have here and far more worried about what you'll do with eternity with Him. Get your eyes on the real prize. Get your eyes on the real prize. It's not this life. He said, my retirement's not going well. My retirement is garbage. I don't own a house. I'm 40 years old. There was a reality check when I was about 35 when I realized life was going to pass me up. And I called up my dad. I said, Dad, what is going to happen when I get to be 50 and 60 and I still don't have a house? He said, it's fine. You work till you're 70 and 80 and then you go to your eternal house. Do you want to go home like I do? I want to bring some people home with me. They don't deserve to be there, but neither do I. And when you come to our neighborhood, when we get to heaven, it's going to be a worship fest. Hallelujah. There's real possibility for success, and there's real possibility for failure in this life. Okay? Amen. Next, let's go to the efficiency of discipleship. Matthew 20, why missions? Because discipleship works. We already know that we can't change Afghanistan. We tried. It didn't work. We already know that we can't change Iraq. We tried. It didn't work. And why didn't it work? Because the locals went back to what they were. They fear those men that Abby talked about. They fear those kids that are in the room. I've seen that happen so many times when they'll come up to the missionary and say, we would want to do it, but you're not here. Once you leave, everything goes back to the way it was. And the people who are in charge, those are the people in charge. You're not here. You don't live with us. You don't live with our reality. It's the same thing that happens in marriage counseling. The pastor can counsel all he wants, but I got to live with my wife, amen? Okay, so the efficient, why discipleship? Because it works every time. Change yourself and you'll change your financial situation. Change yourself and you'll change the way you look at life. Change yourself and your family gets better. Change yourself and your marriage gets better. Change yourself. Jesus said, go and make them disciples that look like me. And that's what the church is supposed to be doing. And it works every time. Every time. But we don't change ourselves. That's when it stops working. When discipleship becomes about other people, it loses its efficiency and its efficacy in your area. And that's when we start losing the battle of abortion. And that's when we start losing. That's where we lost, guys. We lost it in discipleship. And you say, but train up a child in the way he should go. But I don't believe that because I trained up my child and he walked away. But by the way, in the Jewish context, that idea of train up a child in the way that he should go had nothing to do with mental activity. It had nothing to do with mental activity. It was, I do what daddy does. And you wonder why our kids hate church. when you stayed home to watch football. I'm going to step on some toes. You stayed home to watch football when it was time to worship Jesus. If a church is open, be there. He said, you follow your own advice? I try. I don't always make it. There have been a couple times when I don't. I do try to make it to church when the church is open. I want to be there. Because you know why? And they tell missionaries to do that. Can you imagine they actually tell missionaries to do this? But there, we have to tell missionaries to do this sometimes. We were told in PFO, go to church even when you don't have a service, because otherwise your kids will think you just go to church for money. And I wept a little when they said that, because I realized there were some missionaries not going to church unless they had a service. Discipleship works, but you have to do it. And I just want to, this is an analogy. I just want to give you this for discipleship. You say, why do I got to have, and when I say discipleship, I'm talking about all of it. You know, you've heard it. Read your Bible, pray, fast, do all the spiritual disciplines. But let me just give you an analogy real quick. The difference between farmed land and non-farmed land, when you farm a land, you build furrows, and those furrows catch water. And by the way, the water that comes from the sky will come on unfurrowed land and furrowed land, the same amounts. But once you put those furrows in it, you retain more. Right? And that's what you're doing. When you do a spiritual discipline, when you pray every day, when you read your Bible every day, you're putting furrows in your heart so that when the Spirit of God rains down on you, you catch so much more. When you turn the TV off, so once in a while, I'm not saying all the time, but once in a while, turn the TV off and allow God, and just, when you get worship music, invest in some serious worship music, and turn it on all the time. You begin to build furrows in your life, and when the Spirit of God rains down, you actually catch some of it. The Spirit of God will rain down on you anyway, and you'll feel it, and you'll go up, but if you have those furrows in your life, you'll catch so much more, and it'll go deeper. And then next slide, Acts 1:8. I just want to say, why missions? Because the Spirit of God is all about missions. You will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. To be my witnesses. Let's just stop there. To be my witnesses. That's the purpose of spiritual empowerment. If you're wondering, why doesn't the Spirit of God speak into my life? It's maybe because you need to be using it for the reason it was given. And finally, the last, why missions? Because of this last slide. The future of the church. The future of the church is that we win. I've had people ask me, where is the United States in the book of Revelation? The United States is around the throne of God with all the other tribes. With all the other tribes and all languages, all ethnic groups. Amen? Ethnos. God wins. According to this verse, every tribe, language, and people group, the word used is ethnic group, every people group surrounds the throne of God, singing a new song of praise to Him. That's your destiny. Why missions? Because it's your destiny.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.